our hands unto the Lord and give Him praise tonight. If you got your Bibles, if you stand with me for the reading of God's Word, out of respect and reverence to the Word of God, help me be thankful for the Word of God tonight. Amen. What a wonderful time we had Sunday in the Lord's house. And I'm so thankful for every opportunity that the Lord gives us to come to His house and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You know, a proverb is a condensed version of a whole bunch of knowledge that's gained through a lot of years of experience. And tonight I want to take you to the book of Proverbs. How many know we got a lot to learn from the book of Proverbs? Amen. We know that Solomon was one of the wisest, was the wisest man on the earth. And even though he was an ignoramus compared to our Lord Jesus Christ, because he was flesh and blood, he was the wisest man to walk the face of the earth. And He offers us so much insight through years of living. Tonight we want to glean a few moments from the book of Proverbs. If you'll join me in the fourth chapter, I want to take your attention to the 20th verse. We're going to read Proverbs 4. We're going to read very quickly verse 20 through verse 27. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, the words are provided for you up on the screens to my right and to my left. Amen. Proverbs, the fourth chapter and the 20th verse. Shout amen if you're there. Amen. The word of the Lord out of the mouth of Solomon says, "My son, attend unto my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings." He said, "Let not them depart from thine eyes and keep them." Everybody say, "Keep them." Keep these words in the midst of thine heart. So the Lord is telling us through the mouth of Solomon, there are some things that we should keep, Sister Wanda, in our hearts. Amen. There are some things that we should keep in our hearts. Keep these things, keep these sayings in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Look at verse 23. It says, "Keep thy heart." Everybody say, "Keep thy heart." "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Ooh, man, that is a whole lot right there. Out of the heart are the issues of life. How many know we have issues in life? Verse 24 says, "Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, straight ahead, and let thine eyelids look straight ahead before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established, and turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil." I want to talk to you, to this body, to the church of the living God tonight for a few moments, amen, about something that I think is so relevant. I think you would have to look very hard and very long to find something that is more relevant than what we are going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the heart. We're going to talk about there's hope for the heart. We're going to start a series about hope for the heart. And tonight is part one, week one. Amen. We're going to call it the battle for the heart. How many know we're in a battle for our hearts? We're in a battle for our hearts. Amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord tonight? Amen. As you're seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope for the heart. Amen. And tonight we're going to talk about the battle. Amen. We have a media culture. How many know people are addicted to media? We have in this church every week emotional healing and support and addiction group that could be much fuller than it is if people would just be real and be honest with themselves and understand that most of us have an issue with being addicted to something. And we have a media culture today that is consummating us. We have a media culture, it is consuming us, and it's drawing our hearts away from God. And people don't even realize, Brother Norman, that it's happening. But it's drawing our hearts away from God. I saw some statistics the other day, and you read all kinds of stuff. But I saw some statistics the other day that said that the average American spends 6 to 8 hours a day on social media. If you think Americans are not addicted to social media, my friend, you're deceived. Because we as a people are addicted. We have a media culture that is absolutely consuming us, and it is contending for our time with the Lord. It is contending for our time in prayer. It is contending for our time reading God's word and having fellowship with the saints. Amen. I venture to say that there are quite a few people in this church that have a hard time even sitting through a whole service without checking your Facebook account. My God, I didn't get one. Amen. But that's all right. It's probably true anyway. I have a hard time finding that there are probably some folks in this church that had a hard time Sunday not checking on the Colts score. I got two amens that time. You are a little less offended about the Colts than you are social media. Amen. But we are being consumed by social media. We are being consumed by advertisement. And these things are vying for our attention. They are pulling us away. They're pulling our hearts. Our hearts have become a battleground for our souls. Amen. And we're fighting for our lives in these last days. We're living in the age of information. And things are vying for our attention. And it don't take long. And there's not one person in this room, if you're old enough, who hasn't got lost in the scrolling on the internet. You hit one of those little reels, and before you know it, you done watched 30 of those reels. And it just keeps going from one to another, to another, to another, to another. Brother Joe, we're consumed. We are literally being consumed. Amen. And you know, the Bible teaches that a lot about the heart. In fact, the Bible mentions it hundreds of times. The Bible speaks frequently and oftenly about the heart, and it teaches us through the Word of God that the heart really stands for everything about us that is immaterial. Can I tell you, your heart means a whole lot more than what's beating in your chest? Oh, yeah. Your heart is a whole lot more, Brother Eric, than what's pumping blood through your body. The Lord said, I'll give you a heart of flesh. Amen. And your heart is really everything that you are. It's so much more than what is beating in our chest tonight. Our heart includes our will. It includes our aspirations, our feelings. It's the place where our decisions are made. Amen. It's the place where our attitudes are formed and developed. How many know if you've ever been upset by somebody, you can form a feeling about that person because you got hurt in your heart? It's a place where attitudes are formed and decisions are made. It's the real you. Your heart is the real you. It's everything about you that is immaterial. And it's where so many things happen, and it's a battleground. It's a spiritual battleground. Today, it's the real you, because the Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, why didn't the Bible say as a man thinketh in his mind? If the heart is just what's beating in our chest, Brother Ken, why didn't the Bible say as a man thinks in his mind, so is he? But that's not what the Word of God said. It said as a man thinketh in his heart, So is he. Why? Because the Bible is teaching us that the heart is so much more than what causes you to love your wife or what causes you to love your children. Your heart is everything about you. It's the battleground for which you're fighting to make heaven your home tonight. And that's what I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight. Jesus made an interesting statement when he said that from the goodness of a person's heart comes good things. And from the corruption of a person's heart comes evil things. Now, how can good things and evil things come from the same heart? Because it's a heart of flesh. Amen. And anything that is flesh has the opportunity to be corrupted. Can I get an amen? Anything that is of flesh has the opportunity to go astray and to be misled. So we're in this battle. We're fighting this battle for everything that we are. And Solomon, amen, mentions many times in the book of Proverbs, my son. Many people believe that it was geared towards the instruction of his son as he was mentoring him and teaching him to become a leader. Amen. But he's saying, my son, listen to the words that I'm telling you. Hold them fast into your heart, because there's things that are fighting against the promises of God in your life. And if you're not careful, you're going to be misled. How many know the Bible says that the heart is deceitful? The heart is deceitful, and it's wicked, and it's very wicked. And who can know it? The writer said. Amen. So our heart is everything that you are tonight. It's so much more than what you think it really is. It's the battleground. It's the place where you're fighting for your spiritual life. And you know, one of the things that people say in these times, I've had so many debates with different people, different mindsets, different ideologies. I've had conversations with people that say, oh, music doesn't affect you. I can listen to rap music. I can listen to worldly music. I can listen to all this stuff, and it doesn't affect the way that I think. But can I tell you, I wasn't always a preacher of the gospel. And I remember riding in my car, and I remember that rock and roll blaring. And the louder I turned it, Brother Tim, the faster the car got. Why? Because the adrenaline got flowing. I started getting caught up in the song, and my mind started being affected by what I was listening to. And let me tell you something. Don't ever get caught up in the lie that what you see, what you listen to, what you hear doesn't affect you. Don't ever get caught up in the notion that it's not going to have an impact on your life and on your mindset and on the people that surround you. Because what you take in, come on, what you allow yourself to be influenced by, it's going to have an impact on your life. It's the battleground. We're talking in the series about there is hope for the heart. And Solomon gives us that hope. Let me tell you how you have hope for your heart. You write the word of God upon the tables of your heart. That's what David said. He said that I might not sin against thee, Lord. Amen. How many know that many times we can't even tell right from wrong? If we didn't have the word of God to give us instruction when we're confused, we wouldn't know whether we're going up or whether we're going down. But David said, thy word have I hid on the tables of my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. So don't ever get caught up in the things that people say that media and technology is harmless. Now, it just depends on how you use it. I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful for a GPS on my phone that gets me where I need to go. I've listened to my mom yell at my dad enough times when we was lost to be thankful for Apple Maps. We've been hours out of the way because of a misread atlas. Amen. How many remember when mom and dad used to get out that big old 10-foot wide piece of paper and unfolded in the car, and it was hanging up this window and hanging up that window, and they're trying to figure out where they're going on this atlas. And now we got this little bitty screen sitting right in front of us that says, turn right at the next light. I'm thankful for Apple Maps today. Amen. I'm thankful for technology. Amen. But technology is vying for our time. How many know that we can't let anything go uncontrolled? We can't let anything go uncontrolled. Many people believe that technology is harmless. It depends on how you use it. Amen. But technology in itself is not harmless. It's actually very biased towards a life of holiness. I mean, no, you can't scroll through Facebook. You can't get on TikTok. You can't get on any of those platforms for just a few moments, and there's something vying for your attention, some little ad off in the corner trying to get you to look at something you shouldn't be looking at. Amen. And it's biased against the life of holiness. It's biased against the life of commitment. It is vying for your time. Amen. It's vying for your commitment. Amen. And I want you to know the bottom line is this, that media and advertisement, they're after the addicts. They're after the people who lack self-control. They're after the people who cannot set limits for themselves. They're after the people who can't recognize that they're going astray. They're preying on the people who don't have self-will and self-strength and the sense to be able to know that you're going down a rabbit hole or you're going down a trap. They're after the addicts. Amen. And the bottom line is they're geared against us. They're geared against us. And all these kinds of things, they're geared against us. And I'm not saying that every... If the truth be told today, we look at 29/11 as being people who used to have a drug problem, or people who used to have an alcohol problem, or people who used to have a porn addiction, or people who was beaten when they were young, or people who was mistreated. All of these things, we look at all these different things, but I venture to say there's probably people sitting in this room right now that are addicted to video games. And I ain't talking about little kids. I'm talking about grown men. And there's people in this room that are addicted to many other things other than drugs and alcohol and porn and all these things of such. Because whatever you're giving all your time to, you got a problem with it. Huh? Because we need to learn moderation in our life, and we need to understand that we got to have our priorities right. And this is exactly what Solomon was talking about, issues with the heart. It's everything that you are. All right? It's not, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So social media, advertisement, all these things. You ever notice that you can't watch hardly a single ad without some half-dressed woman trying to get the eyes of your husband fastened upon her? You ever notice that you can't hardly watch 5 minutes on the television without some buff character trying to get the attention of your wife? You know why? Because they know it's going to get you to buy something. Because advertisement and media works. And we're influenced by the things that we see, the things that we hear, and the things that we listen to. These things are biased against a life of commitment to Christ. And we got to control them. We got to understand they're geared against us. Now, my own grandchildren, they come over to the house and they play little video games. Not much of a gamer myself, thank God. I never really had too much of an issue with it. I have my own crosses to carry. Games ain't one of them. But my grandchildren come to the house and they'll ask me, "Pap, you got any games on your phone?" And I always say, "I'm sorry, Bubby, I don't have games on my phone because I don't play games." So Mom and Dad always has to give them an iPad or something like that that has a few games on it. And many games are harmless, and my own grandkids, they play, computer games, but they need to be carefully chosen by their parents. And can I tell you today, let me give you a little parenting 101 here. You don't want your children to be raised on technology. Because if you allow your children to be raised on technology, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them because eventually they're going to see something that they should not see. And there's a reason why the average age of a child that is first introduced into pornography in this country is 7 years old. You know why? Because their babysitter is technology. You know why? Because mom and dad are too busy, so they hand them a screen to play with. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to be harsh tonight. I'm trying to let you know that if you allow your children to be raised on technology, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them. And all these kinds of things, they're geared against us. They're not all bad, but many of them need to be done in moderation, and they need to be carefully chosen by their parents. But when you stop and think of all that's out there and of all the parents that are out there that really don't care and really don't monitor, amen, media and technology is absolutely not harmless, and it's vying against us. And left uncontrolled, it is very destructive, and it's going to destroy your children. Another thing we hear many people say is that what I listen to and what I watch doesn't affect me. Amen. I'm glad for modern technology. I don't want to go back to the days before email. I'm thankful that many times I get to talk to people on email instead of on the telephone. And so I don't want to go back to those times, but I certainly want the Lord to give me instruction on my heart and on the things of my heart, and give me instruction that I need to be careful with what I'm getting caught up in and what I'm giving my time to. Amen. I'm emphasizing tonight that if we're going to use social media, we need to use it for the glory of God. If we're going to use internet, if we're going to use technology, and if we're going to use social media, it needs to be redeemed to the glory of God tonight. Amen. It's not wrong to spend some time scrolling on Facebook. I'm not in certain organizations tonight going to preach you into hell for being on Facebook. Amen. But certainly Facebook needs to understand who's in control. And Facebook needs to have filters on it. And Facebook needs to understand that it ain't going to get 8 hours out of your day and your children get 20 minutes. Oh, come on, somebody. Facebook needs to understand. Your sports programs need to understand. It ain't going to get 5 hours out of your evening and your children get 10 minutes. Amen. We got to put our things back into perspective. And we got to understand we're in a battle for our hearts and our minds. Everything about us, the world is vying against the things of God. It's competing against the things of God. And if we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves getting caught up in all the things of the world and not giving time to the things of God. Amen. So we got to be careful. Amen. I'm trying to emphasize that if we're going to use these things, we need to use them for the glory of God, because we are in a battle for our hearts tonight. Amen. Don't ever get caught up in that mindset that you can watch whatever you like and it's not going to affect you. Don't ever believe that lie. Don't ever receive that notion that you can look at whatever you want and it's not going to affect you. And think about it. Why are billions of dollars spent on advertising if advertising doesn't affect us? Because they know that advertising affects us. And the devil knows, the enemy knows, the world knows, the more it can put it in front of your face, the more likely you are to become addicted to it. So it's vying for our time. It's vying for our attention. You see, if it's advertised and you see it advertised, pretty soon you're going out and you want to buy it. It's the new fad. How many know we have a herd mentality? Everybody gets a new iPhone. You see it a couple times on the internet. I got to get that new iPhone. Everybody gets a new Apple Watch or a new Droid. Only sinners use Droids, by the way. Just so you know, this is an apostolic church, and I'm preaching hot right now. Only sinners use droids. Okay? Brother Paul, he said, I'm the chiefest of all sinners. But these things are vying for our time, all right? And we got to be careful. Advertisement works. Amen. That's why so many churches are using these platforms, and churches are seeing results because they understand that people are addicted to social media. So they're getting out there. That's why we have a media team in this church trying to offset these things, because we're in a battle for our hearts. And we need to understand that tonight. We see it advertised. Pretty soon, we find ourselves out buying. We need to remember what the Bible says. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Amen. It's the real you. That's what your heart is. It's the real you. It's exposing the real you. And listen, if we're going to protect our hearts, we're going to protect our minds, and if we're going to create hope for our hearts, all right, if we're going to create hope for our hearts, amen, then we're going to have to be faithful to God. We're going to have to monitor these things, and we're going to have to understand that we're in a battle for our hearts. We're going to have to listen to the words of Solomon when he was instructing his son. You need to write these things on your heart. You need to hold fast to these things in your heart, because these other things are going to take away the promises of God out of your life. Can I tell you, you're going to have a hard time convincing someone who's not ready anyway. Amen. And people who are addicted are people who are addicted. And you might as well stand on a bridge, Brother Eric, and just command the mighty Mississippi to turn around and run the other direction than to tell somebody who is enjoying their addiction that they're addicted. And you might as well tell someone who's enjoying the temporary benefits of sin, you might as well tell the mighty Mississippi, turn around and head the other direction, because if they ain't ready to turn, and if they ain't ready to repent, and if they ain't ready for something new in their life, and if they don't understand that their heart and their mind is a battleground and an idle mind is the devil's workshop, you're not going to get anywhere. You got just as good a chance as commanding the mighty Mississippi to turn around and run the other direction. But we got to understand tonight that we are in a battle for our heart. Amen. And it's going to take fasting, and it's going to take prayer, and it's going to take discipline. It's going to take understanding the words of Solomon. Amen. Because if we're content with what we're in and we're not ready to listen to God, it's not going to do us any good. But we got to be open-minded. We got to be willing to listen to the Spirit of the Lord as it gives us instruction. Amen. Now, I said all of everything that I've said, amen, but I believe that there's going to be transformation in the hearts and the minds of the people in this church. I believe that God is going to open our eyes and help us see that we are addicted to many other things other than drugs and alcohol. I believe God's going to open our eyes and allow us to see that what we're taking in matters. What we're looking at matters. What we're giving our time to matters. Amen. And there's going to be a victory for this season. We're in a season where media and advertisement are competing against the Spirit of God in our lives. With man, these things might be impossible, but how many know with God, all things are possible? With God, all things are possible. And with a heart that's willing to listen to God, God can say, you got to be mindful. Listen to the words of Solomon. You're in a battle for your heart. And you need to wake up and you need to understand, amen, that I'm giving you victory for this season, but you got to be willing to listen to me. How many know we need the word of God to become overcomers? Huh? We need the word of God to become overcomers. And I believe there's victory for this season. Amen. Does anybody believe that with me today? Or am I standing up here all alone by myself tonight? Amen. There is victory for this season, and we don't have to give the devil all of our time. Amen. So you husbands, listen to me. It is possible that God can change your wife. You wives, listen to me. It is possible that God can change your husband. Amen. And it is possible that God can change your children, but we have to believe that God is able to change, and God is able to heal, and God is able to make whole, and God is able to give instruction, and we got to receive the chastising of the Lord. The Lord chastens those whom he loves. And sometimes we need to hear, you're giving too much time to the world. Amen. I've heard God say that to me. You're giving too much time to worldly things and not enough to heavenly things. You're going to reap what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And you're going to reap exactly what you're sowing. Amen. And if we're giving all of our time to secular things and none of our time to heavenly things, that's exactly what we're going to reap of this world, corruption. But if we're giving our time to heavenly things, amen, then God's going to do something wonderful in us. Amen. It's a command, church. It's a command that we guard our hearts. God, look, God didn't give us this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels for us to squander it and waste it. It's a command that we guard our hearts and we guard our minds. Amen. We got to do these things. We got to pay attention to what we're doing. We got to guard our heart. And to guard your heart, you got to know your heart. How many knows it? You can't properly guard something that you don't know. You can't properly guard something that you deny. You can't properly guard something that you don't know. If you're going to guard your heart, you got to know your heart. The heart is a place where life makes up its mind. It's the throne room, if you will. Our throne, not God's throne room. It's our throne room. It's where we do our business, Brother Joe. It's where we make up our mind. It's where we make our decisions. It's where we decide our path that we're going to take. Amen. And if God is not in control of that, we're going to take the wrong path. How many know the Bible tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? How's he going to do that if he don't have control over our hearts? How's he going to do that if we're not writing the things of God upon the tables of our heart that we might not sin against him? We're in a battle for our hearts. And if we're going to guard our hearts, if we're going to fight for our hearts, we got to know our hearts. Amen. And I believe God wants to give us transformation in these last days. And I believe God wants to open our eyes to some things. The heart is the direct center of control of all that we do. And out of it, the Bible says, are the springs of life. Out of your heart are the springs of life, like an overflowing river. What's within it comes out. It's the invisible part of us. It's the part that other people can't see. It's the part that you keep secret. It's the part that you don't expose to everyone. It's the inner parts of you. It's everything about you that is immaterial. It's the invisible part of us. And we have to know it. The Bible says, who can know it? But we must attempt to know it. If we're going to submit it to God, we got to know what kind of condition it is in. This is why the Bible teaches us, amen, to look in a glass, to judge ourselves that we might not be judged of another. The heart can be a place of peace. How many of you have seen people that just no matter what they go through, they got peace in their heart? That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. That's what the Spirit of God living on the inside of you will do for you. That's what commitment to the kingdom of God will do for you. That's what spiritual disciplines will do for you. Amen. It will bring peace. It will make your heart a place of peace. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. How many know our heart doesn't have to be a place of trouble and confusion and deceit and all of these things? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. The Apostle Paul said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Your heart can be a place of peace. Amen. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So see, your heart can be a place where peace is in charge. It can be a place of comfort, a place of peace. Your heart can also be a place where there's trust. The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. How many know you can have trust for God in your heart? Have you ever noticed somebody who tries to live for God but doesn't have any trust in God in their heart? They have a hard time living for God. Your heart can be a place where the trust for God abides. We need to have trust in God in our hearts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We can have trust in our hearts. Rejoice, ye pure in heart. How many know the heart can be pure? It can be transformed. We can be separated unto God. We can. It can be a place where there's peace. It can be a place where there's purity. It can be a place where there's trust. It doesn't have to be all deceit. It doesn't have to be all confusion. Amen. Even though life gets tough sometimes, the heart can be a place where we love. How many know? It can be a place where we love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine mind, and with all thy soul. Amen. We can have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We can have peace. We can have security. We can have blessed assurance in our hearts. The heart is a place where we experience God. The Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. The heart can be something that is transformed, a life transformed by Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How many want to see God? How many want to make heaven your home? How many know it's going to take a pure heart to get you there? It's going to take a heart that's submitted to God to get you there. It's going to take a life that's submitted to Christ to get you there. Amen. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful. Above all things, it's desperately wicked. And I don't know of any other book in any other religious circle or any other religion that has such an accurate description of what our heart is. Huh? It's deceitful. Who can know it? Let me tell you something. Just recently, I watched a young lady. Have you ever watched a woman that is abused or a woman that is mistreated? In one breath, they will love the man that is abusing them, and in the next breath, they will want you to hate them. Huh? Why? Because there's confusion. All right? The heart is deceitful. Who can know it? It is desperately wicked. And there's no other book in the world that describes the heart so perfectly as the Word of God does. The description of the human heart is deceitful. It deceives us in terms of how good we are, how bad we are. I mean, no, there's times you think that you're all that in a bag of chips. And then there's times you think you're the lowest dirt in the earth. It just depends on which day of the week you ask yourself. You know why? Because you don't know, and you need God to give your heart instruction. It just depends on how your life's going. Depends on how your day's going. Depends on how your wife's acting. We need the peace of God. We need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Our heart can be a place of peace. The Bible says that the way of man is pure in his own eyes, but God judges the heart, right? A man is right in his own eyes, but God judges the heart. God knows what's in our hearts. He knows in our hearts what's better than we know what's in our hearts. We can attempt to know the heart. We can attempt to know who we are, huh? But man, I tell you what, many times we get knocked down off our high horse, Brother Teddy, and we realize how wretched we really are. Without God in our lives, come on, we realize we are nothing without Him. But by the grace of God and the mercy of God, He can make us into something beautiful, and He can put the peace of God in our hearts. Can I tell you, you ain't as good as you think you are. Can I tell you, you ain't as bad as you think you are. Chances are, you probably don't even know yourself as good as you think you do. But God does. But God does. He knows exactly what's in your heart. Amen. That's why you can see someone who is abusive, someone who's unkind, someone who's thoughtless, amen, and all the rest of these, does all these horrible things and hurts people, amen, but they think they're pretty okay. They think they're not doing bad. Why? Because the heart is deceitful. Amen. And we see all of these things and we watch all of these things, and it helps us understand that the human heart has a good side and it has a bad side. All of us have a flesh and a spirit. We have an earthly man. Amen. And we have a side of us that God created to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. It's the flesh against the spirit. It's the war that's going on the inside of us. Amen. So the first thing we need to do is understand that our heart has a good side, it has a bad side, and it can be corrupted. It can be misled. And we can give time to things that are going to destroy us. So the first thing we got to do is we got to begin to know our hearts and attempt to know our hearts. And then we got to guard what God has placed in our hearts. I have seen people, I have taught Bible studies to people. I have taught Bible studies to people on the oneness of God. I've taught Bible studies to people on the doctrine of the new birth. And I have seen them turn around and talk to other people who did not know what they were talking about and turn around and be confused. Huh? We gotta know. And we got to guard the things that God places in our hearts. How many know we can believe a lie and lose our soul? Because the blind's going to lead the blind and they're both going to fall in the ditch. So we have to guard the things of God that he places in our lives and in our hearts. Now, there are many people who would never leave their car anywhere unlocked. I'm the type, I leave my car everywhere unlocked. But I shouldn't do that. But many people wouldn't leave their car anywhere unlocked. Amen. They wouldn't think of going anywhere, leaving their car unlocked. And they certainly wouldn't leave their homes unlocked. But they never think about such a thing as leaving their hearts and their minds unlocked. How many know we got to guard the things of God? You come into church on Sunday, you worship with the saints, and you go out and you hang around with the devil all week long. Guess what's happening? You're not guarding the things of God in your heart that God has placed in your heart. So we got to be careful. We got to guard the heart. It's a battleground. It's a place where this battle's being fought. Amen. Yet there's people today whose minds are totally, their hearts are totally unguarded, unlocked. They listen to anything. They follow after anything, like a herd of cattle, unguarded, unlocked. Proverbs 25 and 28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into without walls. How many know we got to have guards put around the things of God, and we got to protect the things of God in our life. You can't just let any old thing come into your life. Because it's going to destroy the city. It's going to destroy the city. Amen. A man without self-control is like a city broken into without walls. There's no guarding. Whatever comes along, whatever you're tempted to do, we simply go ahead and we just do whatever we feel like doing. Amen. And that's the way that many people live their lives. But can I tell you, that's not the way a child of God is supposed to live their life. We're supposed to live a life of spiritual disciplines. We're supposed to guard the things of God that he has wrote upon the tables of our heart. And this is what Solomon was teaching. Amen. In the book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Don't just go ahead and do whatever you feel like you want to do. No, you better make sure it lines up with God's word. Amen. The Bible says that's like a city with the walls broken down. That's what happens when you don't guard your heart. We got to guard the heart. Verse 24, we just read just a few minutes ago. It said, put away from you crooked speech and devious talk far from you, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. How many know you let too much junk in your heart, eventually it's going to come out. How many know when you make somebody mad, what's really in their heart's going to come out? And the first thing you're going to say, oh, I didn't mean that. You make them mad, they're going to really tell you what they think. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Verse 25 says, let your eyes look directly forward. Gaze be straight before you. He's talking here about what you see, the ability to concentrate, the ability to focus on the things of God. Now, if we're honest with ourselves in this busy life that we're living, and I'm very busy, and I struggle with this. I find myself sometimes, Brother Doug, trying to concentrate on one thing, and my mind is somewhere else on another thing, and that does not please God. Because God doesn't speak to busy minds. God speaks to minds that are focused upon Him, hearts that are directed towards Him. Let thine eye be single. We need to think on the things of God. We need to meditate on the things of God. And I struggle with this because I'm busy, and I'm sure you struggle with this because you're busy, but it's a part of knowing our heart. Amen. If we're busy, we struggle with these things. Our heart is a battleground, church. We need to understand tonight. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. We need to invite God to search our hearts. Huh? How many know? Because many times we ain't capable of correcting and fixing our own hearts, so we need to invite God into our hearts to fix and to correct our hearts. David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me. Tell me, Lord, show me the error of my way. Show me where I'm going astray. We got to be willing. We talked about this in our dangerous prayers, being willing to say, Lord, search me and show me where I'm going astray. Show me where I'm falling short. Show me where I'm making mistakes at, Lord, and help me to be a better child of God. Something else, we must always allow God to change our hearts once God tells us the error of our ways. How many know you can't? You can't fix something that people think ain't broken. Huh? And if somebody thinks they ain't got no problems, that's why the first rule of AA is they tell you to say, man, I'm an alcoholic. I got a problem. It's uncontrollable. I can't fix it on my own. I need help fixing it. We're the same way with sin. We're the same way with our broken humanity. We need to understand that we need God. We must allow God in to change our hearts. We can't change our own hearts. We can't. We need God to fix us. God said to Israel, new heart will I give you. I'll take out of the heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I mean, no, there's good things about us, and then there's a lot of bad things about us. And we need the Spirit of God to give us direction. We do. We need the Spirit of God. We were all born into sin and shapen in iniquity, and we need the Spirit of God to give us direction. We need to receive the gift of a new heart. That's what Jesus meant in John 3 when he said, except you be born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You got to have a new heart. It all starts in the heart, church. It's who we are. God wants to transform who we are. He wants to change us. We need a new birth. We need a new heart. We need a new desire. We need a new mind. Amen. It's the whole reason why he came and he died on the cross. He gave himself for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It's the reason why he came in his third manifestation as the Holy Ghost, and he filled us. He lives within us. We are the tabernacle. On Sunday, we talked about the tabernacle of God. We behold, the tabernacle of God is within man. We are the tabernacle of God. We are the dwelling place of God. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost to lead us and to guide us. We can have joy. It's only given to us by the Holy Ghost. We need the joy of the Holy Ghost in our life. Scriptures say, as many as received him, to those he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. How many know the beginning spot is to have a new heart? To have the Lord transform your heart, transform who you are, everything about you. Amen. We're in a battle, church. We're in a battle for our hearts. Things are vying for our attention. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. As the musicians come, we're in a battle for our hearts. We need the wisdom of God in our lives. In all you're getting, get understanding. We need to understand today that the Lord wants to transform our hearts. He wants to give us a new heart. There was an evangelist in the early 1900s by the name of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a previous professional baseball player turned into a child of God. To show you, sometimes we really just don't know how mixed up we are. We really don't know how confused and how broken we really are. Why? Because the heart is deceitful. And who can know it? And sometimes, I'm amazed sometimes that I can preach a sermon on Sunday, and the very folks that I'm hoping will receive it saying, "He ain't talking to me." It's amazing sometimes how we can be right in our own eyes. How many know we can justify anything? We're good. We're so good at justifying anything. But the truth is, when we really submit our hearts to God, when we really invite Him in to search us and to know us, not to just search us and to know us, but then to tell us. It's one thing to say, "Lord, search me." It's another thing to say, "Lord, tell me. Tell me what you found, Lord. Tell me what's wrong, Lord. Tell me where I can be better, Lord. Tell me how I can get to heaven, Lord." We stagger along day by day, just figuring out life the best we can, hoping that we're going to make it on our own. Can I tell you, you ain't never going to make it to heaven on your own. You need the Spirit of God to transform you, to lead you, and to guide you, because without the Spirit of God in you, you're lost. The late evangelist Billy Sunday, in the early 1900s, a baseball player turned preacher, found himself coming out of a bar one night, and as he walked out the bar, there stood a group of Bible students. They're out there handing out scriptures and religious literature. Billy Sunday is quoted in saying, "I staggered out of my sin right into the outstretched arms of my Savior." Can I tell you, you don't have to have it all figured out. Can I tell you, you don't have to know it all. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to be the greatest thing ever. What you got to have is a heart after God. What you got to have is a heart that says, "God, I invite you into my life to teach me, to search me, to tell me where I'm wrong, to make me better, to help me make heaven my home." Billy Sunday said, "I staggered out of that bar and I staggered right into the arms of Jesus." Can I tell you, one of the greatest things you could ever do is stagger right out of your sin into the hands of a loving God that wants to transform your life, transform your family, transform your mind, and transform your heart. It's all about the heart. The heart is so much bigger than what we think it is. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's where your decisions are made. We got to have a heart that God gives us, that God shapes in us, that God transforms in us. It's a battleground tonight. We're in a battle, but there's hope for our hearts today. I believe God's going to give us victory in these last days. I believe God's still in the transforming business. I believe God's still transforming hearts. I believe God's still transforming minds. I believe God's still delivering people from things that seek to destroy their hearts. I wonder for the next few moments if we could just lift our hands towards heaven all over this house as we sing this closing song. Come on. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to repeat the words of David when he said, "Lord, try me. Lord, search me. Lord, don't just search me, but tell me, Lord. Tell me, Lord, guide me, Lord. Give me instruction, Lord. Help me to have your heart, oh God. Transform my heart and transform my life, because I'm in a battle for my heart. Church, it's going to take the gospel to save us. It's going to take a heart of God to save us tonight. Let's love him all over this house for the